I'm Don, would you read us some pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any added agenda items?
There are no added agenda items tonight.
Anybody here? Public comments? Anybody like to speak at this point?
I signed up to address item number 7. Do you have that here?
Okay. All right. And did you guys get a chance to look over the meeting minutes from the 19th? Mm-hmm. Could I have a...
I move we adopt the comments.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Minutes are approved. Okay. Now, before we open the hearing tonight, I wanted to acknowledge the passing of a special friend and a fellow commissioner, Doug Ward. And I want to publicly thank him for his many years of service to this community. He worked so hard in so many capacities to represent our citizens, and he will miss very much. Our condolences and prayers for him and his family, and a great big thank you to all of you. Okay, I will open the public hearing now, and this is where I read this, right? Okay. This is the time and place set for hearing on, what's it called?
Two applications,
21640 CPA and 21641 zone change, or 41C zone change. Staff will outline the hearing procedures, and that will be public facilities. And
sorry, that's part of the.
Never mind.
The application time.
Okay, and go on to you.
Sure. And just to clarify that, we have two applications that were submitted concurrently and requested to be reviewed concurrently, but we're holding a single hearing. They relate to the same property with the same applicable criteria. Again, just this is a quasi-judicial hearing, so there's a number of items we need to go through up front so everybody's aware of the process. And the Planning Commission, as the hearings body, will hear the argument concerning the application of Housing Works and Deschutes County as the property owner. The property has not been assigned an address, but is identified as Tax Lot 303 on Deschutes County Tax Assessor's Map 22-10-11CB. The applicant is requesting approval of a comp plan amendment, a map amendment, and an associated zone change. All testimony shall be directed to the hearings body, Planning Commission. And the applicable criteria are those found listed on the screen. We have city regulations, zoning ordinance, procedures ordinance, comp plan. I'll step through those shortly. The ORS revised statutes that govern quasi-judicial land use hearings and noticing. And then the OARs, the Transportation Planning Rule, and the Statewide Planning Rule. And we'll step through those briefly. All of those are outlined in detail in the staff report, but we'll also go through those momentarily. All testimony, argument, and evidence must be directed to the applicable criteria that are listed on the screen, or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or zoning ordinance you believe to be applicable that may have been left out accidentally. At the conclusion of this hearing, the hearings body will deliberate towards a decision or continue the hearing or deliberations to a date and time certain. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the Planning Commission and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the City Council and the Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Just to reiterate, if you have an issue with the application or the findings of staff need to be very clear and specific on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues related to conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. The hearing will proceed as follows. Staff will present a brief report. The applicant will present its testimony and evidence. Any interested persons will present testimony or evidence. The applicant, as the party bearing the burden of proof, will then be afforded an opportunity to present rebuttal testimony if necessary. Opponent rebuttal may be allowed at the Planning Commissioner's discretion. And finally, if requested by the hearings body, staff will provide closing comments. Questions from or to the chair may be entertained at any time at the hearing body's discretion, and then the hearing will be closed. At this time, commissioners must disclose any ex parte contacts, including site visits, prior hearing observations, biases, or conflicts of interest. Does any commissioner have anything to disclose? And if so, please state the nature of same and whether you can proceed.
I've driven past the place many times, but that's about it.
I have none.
I've driven past the place, but I've never really gone out onto the property.
The only thing I've heard is what's been publicly stated at the council meetings and just casual conversations.
Does any party wish to challenge any member of the hearings body based on ex parte contacts, biases, or conflicts? Okay. At the chair's permission, then I would proceed with staff report.
Yes, please.
Okay. So you all have the staff report before you. I won't go through every single page of 35 pages line by line, but I will highlight some of the comp plan specific aspects relate to this application. I have the pointer. This is the parcel that we are looking at, just to remind everybody. It is currently owned by Deschutes County. And you can see it's east of Huntington Road and north of Victor Way. This is the current comp plan designation map as well as the zoning map. They are both the same now. The existing comp plan designation and the zone is public facilities and park open space. That is specifically a city designation and zone. The requested comp plan designation zone change is to mixed use commercial for the full lot. As you can see, the very northeast corner has a small portion of a park zone. And we'll be talking about both the public facilities as well as park changing to commercial mixed use. Just a reminder, we just went through those. I'll start touching on a number of those. To lay out the comprehensive plan, want to note, first, this slide is intended to lay out the anticipation that there will be changes to the comp plan, the map, and if there are requested changes, there are certain criteria that need to be fulfilled. There are two aspects that need to be justified. It can be either or both. And this says, in the case of an owner-initiated amendment to the plan, the owner must, in addition to compliance with state laws, demonstrate that, one, there was a mistake when the plan designation was applied to the subject property, or two, the proposed change would result in public need and benefit and or would result in a more efficient use of land. So we'll touch on those and then we'll discuss the comp plan intent, goals, and policies after that. Addressing the evidence of need and benefit, again, the applicant will address more specifics on some of their analyses. But in general, just want to note that the comprehensive plan, again, we'll go through that in a minute, regularly references the need for diversified and affordable housing. Changing from the public facilities and park open space zone to the CMX zone allows affordable housing and other complete community features, which are referenced over and over again as a need in the comp plan. Secondly, the CMX zone provides opportunity for mixing of residential uses and compatible commercial uses, which can provide community benefit through complete community concepts and increased commercial potential. And third, the applicant Housing Works has stated that they have conducted needs assessment and market feasibility assessments, which found that there's a shortage of affordable housing in Lapine, and I think that has been a discussion in Lapine for the last several years, and it is known quite broadly that is an issue, housing across the board as well as about affordable housing. Addressing whether there was a mistake when the plan was applied, again, the applicant will address this a little bit, but in general, before the city took jurisdiction of the area and incorporated, the subject property was zoned Community Facilities District in the county's code. That district and that zone allowed more uses than are allowed by the current public facility zone, including multifamily housing. When the city adopted public facilities, it reduced those allowed uses on the property. I can't point to specific reference that absolutely there was a mistake that was made, because I don't have documentation on why it was designated public facilities at the time. However, there's plenty of indication that it went from a less restrictive zone to a more restrictive zone, and some past decisions that were made, quadrant plan decisions were made at the county level, also indicated that multifamily housing was allowed. So there is an inconsistency in the previous zone and the current zone. The current zoning ordinance also references this particular area as being zoned as a community facilities district, which again allows the multifamily housing. So it inserts some suggestion that there was not likely an intent to restrict the uses on the property. To step through the comp plan, the introduction pulls out a number of important things to the community. It highlights affordable housing as one of them. Talking about community characteristics, wanting to correct the imbalance and improve neighborhoods with features that include a number of things, but including employment and commercial service nodes that are closer within neighborhood areas, that are closer to schools, and they have walking distances available to the schools and facilities. This parcel is within walking distance of schools, a future planned park on the west side of town, and other commercial and residential areas. Let me make sure I skip one. Chapter 5, and there are many, many more chapters, but I'm just pulling out highlights that I think really specifically relate to this, and the findings go into even more detail. But Chapter 5 of the Comp Plan addresses statewide Goal 5 to protect natural resources and conserve scenic and historic areas and open spaces, as well as air quality, water quality, land resources, and protecting people and property from natural hazards. On that note, the subject property has not been identified on any inventories as being a specific protected natural resource or historic element. Future development on the site will be reviewed thoroughly for impacts to air, water, and land. And finally, the subject property is not identified on any inventories from the city as an area of specific natural hazard any more than the rest of the city might be. Further on Goal 5, one of the goals within that chapter is to protect and enhance those identified Goal 5 resources. Goal 5 resource that it refers to is the statewide goal for protecting those natural resources. And it notes that the city shall designate open space and trail areas to serve wildlife migration corridors. And specifically that they need to be inventoried as a network of specific open space. And again, that I put that up there to reiterate that this particular property is not inventoried on any city inventories to address that statewide goal. And this is just a follow-up from the previous slide showing, let's see, do I have a pointer? There it is right there. This is the property all the way down here, referencing adjacent parks. This is a currently owned Lapine Parks and Rec property over here within a quarter mile of the existing property that is identified for a future park. And we'll discuss that more in a minute. The other point of this map is that to highlight one potential Goal 5 resource is wildlife preservation. And you see in this map there are a number of corridors east-west that are likely intended for wildlife protection. This lot down here and that park doesn't connect laterally to a wildlife corridor. So it was just an additional step in the research to find out, just to make sure and clarify that this is not some specific naturally protected natural resource or wildlife corridor. So it's just one more piece in the puzzle to verify. Further on the natural resources and environment, it was very important in the comp plan that the Lapine Park and Rec District is coordinated with in dealing with parks, developing an inventory of open spaces, complementing the system of parks, and linking those open spaces, again, planned in coordination with Parks and Rec. I did speak with Gary Gordon, and maybe he will talk about this a little bit more this evening, but this subject property is not specifically identified in the current Park and Rec comp plan, nor in the draft of the updated version. Comp plan, or as I mentioned, Park and Rec owns a 5-acre parcel within a quarter mile of the subject property that is intended for park development in the future. And there are four other parks to the north that are planned for and included in the Bend Park and Rec comp plan. Chapter 6 of the comp plan, again, is the same, similar discussion on the parks and open space. Just wanted to note it in both places because I think it's applicable based on the policies and goals that are set there. The other note that I want to make is that there was a 2006 quadrant plan that was approved by the county when it was still county jurisdiction that included a smaller portion of that northeast corner in the quadrant plan as a park. However, that quadrant plan was not adopted into the city comp plan or zoning ordinance or the TSP, so we don't have a specific outline for that park from that quadrant plan, again, from county jurisdiction before the city took over jurisdiction of this property. Chapter 9, economy. This focuses really on the complete community by rezoning this parcel, redesignating and rezoning this parcel to a mixed-use commercial. It not only affords the opportunity to have affordable housing on the lot, further supporting those complete communities, but it also provides the opportunity for potential mixed use if there's a compatible commercial mixed use that would go with the residential. It's my understanding that only a portion of the parcel will be used for affordable housing, at least at this initial plan, so it provides some potential opportunity for other economic development. This reiterates the similar point, talking about having commercial zones located throughout the community that are not necessarily in a strip shopping lot, and this certainly supports this goal of having integrated its adjacent to a senior center, other residential areas, commercial zoning to the south. And this just references the comp plan and the community support for the addition of commercial mixed lands to serve the neighborhoods and employment, again, supporting the application. Talking about needing to encourage additional new commercial centers near expanding residential areas, and again, referencing that complete neighborhood concept. This is just a note to make it clear that the comp plan expected updates to inventories in response to proposed zone changes, mixed-use development techniques, and supporting that complete neighborhood concept. Again, it's sounding fairly repetitive because it's a theme that goes throughout the comp plan. This is, I think, an important note down here. As part of the economy, it was important to plan for workforce housing so you can attract the target industries. You need your workers to be able to afford to live somewhere and have the availability of housing. And then housing, of course, housing hits heavy on this. And this just highlights a few of them from the findings. Develop strategies to increase the variety of housing choices, encouraging a wide range of housing, providing adequate buildable residential land. Again, reiterating the same points, variety of housing options, safe, convenient, attractive, and located close to schools, services, parks, and shopping and employment centers. As I mentioned, this was within walking distance of a school, a future park, other residential neighborhoods, and commercial to the south. And finally, again, reiterating the desire to encourage and sustain affordable housing. are the same. I won't reread it because it's been reiterated. Chapter 12 talks about urbanization. It focuses on the city's ability to serve within the urban growth boundary and have the appropriate amount of properties in the right balance, whether it's commercial or residential. Talk about supporting land use patterns that enhance the development of complete neighborhoods. And again, reiterating the need for new mixed use areas within the city to explore them on an as-needed basis for the complete neighborhood planning. Looking at the zoning ordinance, this is another one of the applicable criteria. I think, as you all well know, the zoning ordinance was established to implement the goals and policies of the comp plan. Most of the zoning ordinance is really related to allowed uses, setbacks, design criteria, site plan. But in the front of the zoning ordinance, there are some specific objectives. Providing opportunities for development to benefit the economy, ensuring that it maintains a scale and character compatible with the city's community character, and provide opportunities for mixed development so that residents can have close to home access to needed goods and services. The requested setback zone for this application allows that mixed use development. The subject property is located to a mix of uses and seems like a suitable site for both a commercial mixed-use zone as well as affordable housing. Statewide planning goals, there are 19 of them. They are outlined all in the findings. I bolded the ones in particular. These relate very much to the comp plan chapters that we just went through. There are a number of them that are not applicable either to the city of Lapine or to this particular property and application. I can certainly dive into some of those more, but it's very much aligned with the comp plan that we went through, and the application does meet those statewide planning goals, and it meets them, and it doesn't inhibit the city from supporting any of those goals. Transportation planning rule was another one. The applicant submitted a transportation planning rule analysis that indicated that the proposed comp plan map amendment and zone change would not significantly affect any existing or planning transportation facility, assuming a reasonable worst case scenario. They look at the parcel zoned as public facilities and what could it potentially become, what's the traffic it would generate, and then compare that to the proposed zone of CMX and what could it generate potentially on that zone, and then compare the numbers. And through that analysis, they determined that the level of travel and access is consistent with existing and planned street system, and the proposed change would result in a lower trip generation potential compared to the current public facilities / park and open space zoning. And this was reviewed by city engineer and county transportation planner. So again, I'll put this back up there as a reminder of the criteria in case there are specific questions on any of those. If there are any questions from the commission request to dig into anything else that was in the findings, I'm happy to do so. But that concludes my presentation at this time.
I did want to ask Doug on this traffic study, the traffic coming onto Huntington from that, I mean, the impact of traffic coming onto Huntington. There are several ways to get in and out, we're being impacted slightly.
Right. So. Well, and there would be additional traffic studies with the associated site development, and that will look at those specific turn volumes and say stacking lanes necessary for left turn lanes and the impacts and roadways around it. This one was really just to focus on that transportation planning rule, and is this change in zone going to impact the quantity of traffic, I would say, to the lot as compared to where it's zoned now.
This addressed that portion of the road just east of the senior center. That just seemed to be a blank piece of supposed to be dedicated road between it and the affordable housing next door, Little Chief Lodge. Will that be completed as part of this?
Yes, that will be completed. That would be addressed as part of the site plan application. The partition application and the site plan application will both look at that roadway and how those parcels are accessed. At this time, we don't know what the partition application would look like because we haven't received it or talked in detail with the applicant about it, but that will be discussed in future applications, yes.
All right, so we will go ahead and open it up to public hearing.
So you want to take the applicant's testimony?
Yeah, I guess they would go ahead first, right, and do their presentation, and then we open it. State your name and tell us who you are.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Greg Blackmore, and I'm a land use planner working on behalf of the applicant. As a land use planner, thanks to Tammy for doing such a great job. A lot of what I will talk about is similar to what she spoke about, so rather than go right into that, I think it would be useful to hear a presentation that's been prepared from Housing Works, and they'll tell you a little bit about who they are and what they hope to do on a portion of this zone change property. And then I plan on following up with just reiterating some of the technical components of the application, maybe addressing some of those questions about access and those pieces. So we'll introduce you to, I think Tom Kemper is going to give the initial presentation. Keith, you can come up also?
Sure.
Okay.
Got a little visual too. You want me to hand those out?
Yeah, would
you?
Yeah, that'd be great. Great.
Good evening. My name is Tom Kemper. I'm the executive director at Housing Works. With me is Keith Wooden, who's a director of development with Housing Works. I want to tell you a little bit about Housing Works and then talk about, you know, kind of what we do and what we're planning for this this property. So our mission is fostering dignity through housing. Everything we do is about that. We are the Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority serving Deschutes, Crook, and Jefferson counties. We operate the Housing Choice Voucher program, which is basically a contract with HUD to provide rental assistance to 1,200 voucher holders in Central Oregon. We own and operate about 800 units of affordable housing throughout Central Oregon. And we have a significant development operation. We currently have 100 units under construction, and hopefully we'll have another 100 behind that, which would include this property. So, and then we have a very robust resident services program for residents that live in our properties. Our current portfolio consists primarily of workforce housing, but we have some senior housing, farm worker housing, special needs housing, and a number of tutor homes, which are really training homes for future home buyers. This is a graph of where our portfolio is relative to the major populations that we serve. The population by localities on the right, and we're pretty consistent with where we have housing, with one major glaring deficiency, which is we don't have any affordable housing in La Pine. And so we really want to remedy that. We've been talking about, we've been in conversations with the city and the city council for years over developing affordable housing, given the strong need here. And so we really aim to fix that problem. So I wanted to give you an idea of sort of the quality of the properties we have. We're very proud of the properties that we own and operate for affordable families. You know, the idea is to provide really high quality homes for people who just make less money. And I think our portfolio is pretty astonishing in terms of its quality. Recently completed deals that we've done. So this was a rehab of a property that was originally built in 93 So we acquired Healy Heights and then did rehabs on both of them. What's pretty significant is as part of that was we ended up turning a laundry room into a medical clinic. We put washer dryers in all the units, and so we had this laundry room, and we were able to actually talk Mosaic into putting a clinic in it, part of our community building, and it's really an amazing asset of that property. And Healy Heights also has a Head Start facility, and at Ariel's we have a Boys and Girls Club in Bend. It's pretty amazing. And then we just rehabbed 40 units in Redmond at Aspen Villas. And then this was our newest new construction, 40 units in Bend by 27th and Greenwood. And then this was a really amazing property. So we built actually five apartments for developmentally disabled in Redmond in partnership with a local a nonprofit dedicated to serving that really difficult population. So currently under construction, we have 48 units of senior housing over Mosaic Medical Clinic's 10,000 foot clinic in Redmond, right next to the Lowe's off Veterans in Redmond. And then this property is of particular interest. Daggett Townhomes and Moonlight Townhomes. This is the kind of property that we plan on building in Lapine. And basically what we're planning is primarily townhome units, two and three bedroom townhomes for families. This gives you an idea of what the units are like. So there's a ground floor for these and then two bedrooms upstairs. So it's one and a half baths and two bedrooms. And then the three bedroom units actually have a ground floor bedroom with two units upstairs. So great family units. And then this is what they'll look like. And this is currently being built in Bend right now. And this is what we want to build in Lapine on this site. So the current housing stock in Lapine is 73% single family, and that's pretty consistent across Central Oregon and most cities. What is strange though is that there's 16% of the housing units are mobile homes, and that's a very high percentage. And if you drive around, the quality of them isn't particularly great. The mix of ownership versus rental is 52-48, and that's fairly consistent throughout most cities in Central Oregon. So the current multifamily mix in Lapine, there's 49 family units and 52 senior units for a total of 101 units. 28% of Lapine's population is 60 years or older. And so you can see there's sort of an imbalance between senior housing stock and family stock relative to the population. So this is what we plan on doing, 8 one-bedroom units, 17 two-bedroom units, and 17 three-bedroom units for a total of 42 units, which is on 2.5 acres for a total density of 17 units per acre. So here's the site that we plan on. And notice, I mean, it's near the schools and groceries and the park and the medical center, the library, you know, the hardware, the fire station, the Deschutes Children's Foundation. I mean, it's a great location for family housing, for affordable housing. You can walk to all these places really easily. So this is the site, the aerial on the left, and then on the right shows the total parcel, and then the portion that we plan on building the 42 units that we're talking about. That leaves about 2 acres in two lots remaining for the county to deal with. Our deal with them is they're actually donating us the land in exchange for us rezoning the property. So it'll have more effective use for the city of Lapine. Almost 2.5 acres is going to be of that lot is, you know, our roads. So 2.5 acres of the 7 acres is going to be roads. So there's a loss fairly significant of the amount. So this is the site plan that we're proposing. So most of them are all townhome units, which are, you know, they're just great family units. I mean, they really are. With the exception of one building, we'll have eight one-bedroom flats. And then the target population. So we're targeting families with income no greater than 60% of area median income. For a family of four, that means that they're going to make $35,820 or less. So that's kind of the target population. So in Lapine, 40% of the households make less than $25,000. So being a significant part of the Lapine population will easily fit into that target tenant. And this gives you an idea by industry of the kinds of people who would fit that category. And more specifically, this gives you a list of actual workers who would fit into the who would be potential residents at the Lapine Townhome Project. Now, in terms of rent burden, this is really significant. So 63% of households in Lapine pay more than 30% of their income for rent or for housing. That's very significant. 27% of them pay more than half of their income for housing. I mean, that's really a high percentage. So, I mean, there's clearly a need for quality, affordable housing between the populations and the amount of rent, the amount of housing costs that people are paying in Redmond. So there's clearly a strong public need that needs to be met. And so these are our proposed rents. They're significantly below market in Lapine for comparable units. And then this gives you an idea of our construction timeline. We're on a fast track to get the rezoning done by December. So hopefully you will approve the comp plan change and the zone map amendment, and then that'll go to housing or to the city council in December. The single condition that we really have that's material with the county is funding from Oregon Housing, and we expect to learn about that in a month. And it's a new kind of funding where the state came up with $20 million for rural housing. And so they've said that they'll commit $38,000 a unit to projects in rural cities. And that's why we're fast-tracking the zoning, because it's really important to get the zoning in place to establish our right to that funding. It's brand new, and it's significant, and it really makes this deal happen for us. So it's really exciting, actually. So our plan would be to complete the plans by March or by February, get final bids in March, and hopefully start construction in April. And that could slip a month, but I mean, we're pretty focused on making that happen. It's a very aggressive schedule, but you know, the need for housing is really incredible in Lapine, and so we're very focused on getting plans done, getting the process, you know, getting our site plan approval by the city, and moving forward. And obviously, it's contingent on getting the zone map and comprehensive map plan change approved by the Planning Commission. And then we hope to actually have construction complete by February of 2018. and then get it leased up right away. So that's really, that's what we're trying to do. Are there any questions?
I have one question. I noticed in a lot of the pictures you showed us on the rehabs that there's a lot of stairs on those. Are you considering a lot of stairs in these?
So the composition of the property will be 36 townhomes. So you'll enter on the ground floor, but there will be bedrooms upstairs. And it, you know, the target for those residents are families, really predominantly.
Younger people.
Yeah, exactly. But we will have 8 flats that'll be 1 bedrooms, and so you'll have 4 1 bedrooms on the ground floor, and then 4 singles on top of that. So, but I mean, we do have, you know, there's senior housing right next door at Little Deschutes, so we're really focused on family housing, and you know, that seems to be in our mind kind of what's missing in the market. So we're really, and we think the townhome unit is exceptional for families, because it, you know, it separates. I mean, kids can go to bed upstairs, and you know, the adults can stay up later, and without, you know, sort of interfering with kids getting rest. So it's a really great unit for that. So
although I understand your constraint on families, it doesn't mean that you, anybody over 60 can't.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It would actually be a violation of fair housing, but
I mean, it's not developed for senior housing. I just thought there are 48 units right next door to it. They're all seniors.
Right.
But it doesn't say that if you're a senior, you can't live in here.
Oh, no, in fact, yeah. No, in fact, the ones probably would be really good for seniors. Well,
there
actually,
are
robust
generations of families here also, where the grandparents are moving in, or the kids are living upstairs and the grandparents downstairs.
Exactly. So. Well, and frankly, I mean, you know, seniors are healthier historically now than they were then, and they could easily do a townhome for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because they'll be great units. So we're not restricting it at all.
Go ahead.
This design, you've got other developments that are almost exactly the same physical design?
We're building it right now. So this is our first townhome development is going up in Bend right now. They just are throwing up sticks this week.
Okay.
So they poured the foundations last week. And so
the bugs out of the time you get here.
Well, that's the idea. You got it.
And these are strictly rentals?
Yes.
No opportunity to buy on any of these?
No.
Okay.
No. Because, see, we're financing them with tax credits and this LIFT funding. And so they make you commit to 30 years of affordability as rentals. And frankly, the Housing Authority will continue renting them, you know, as affordable housing through their life. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we're about. So.
Another question I have is on the construction timeline. You have off-site improvements. What is that?
Well, I mean, the $100 question is how much the roads are we going to have to build that's around it? Because, you know, remember,
you
mean, yeah.
The surrounding development as opposed to the development of the houses.
Yeah, exactly. So off-sites are that. And I mean, we're gonna have to arm wrestle with the city about who pays for what part. So we're explaining that.
The other concern that's always come up too is we don't want the concrete jungle, and so I have to ask about the landscaping. You have allowed for plenty of landscaping around each one of these units.
I think the best way to look at that is to go back and look
I
at the stuff.
I saw some of the units. They look like.
So we're extremely focused on what.
I can pass it.
Well, no. But I want to show them what we, you know, the stuff we do. I mean, when you're renting an apartment to someone, what's the first thing they see? The landscaping. You know, I mean, that's. So, and it's, you know, and it's a sense of pride for someone living there. And so we're sticklers about having really significant, really high quality landscaping. And these days, it's harder because you're balancing water use versus quality, and so you know it's always kind of a push and pull on that.
Well, we have snow here too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why we faced most of the buildings south, so the entries are south, so that they won't, you know, be stuck on the north side where they're beaten on ice forever. We've been thoughtful about that stuff as you guys are at elevation.
And see, there's a lot of green space.
Who maintains it?
Oh, we do. Absolutely. We actually started our own management company in 2011 because we didn't get the quality of service that we wanted. So we actually have started our own management company that manages it. And it gives us really great control over it. So, you know, because, you know, we call them up and say, hey, you know, you need to fix that. So that's proven to be a really excellent way to handle that. So we hired the Epic Property Management to do our management.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed is you've got a lot of parking there. Is that going to be enough parking for all this?
We're parked 2-to-1, so it's pretty good. And there's going to be off-street parking too, but you know we're parked on site 2-to-1, so that should be enough to handle it.
None of it's covered, is it?
No.
That poses a snow removal problem.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, you have that anyway.
It's not going to be the city having to do that.
No, I know. It doesn't appear like there's much area to put.
The snow?
Well,
and those things will all be reviewed as part of the
site plan.
Yeah, we haven't arm wrestled over that yet.
Yeah. So you see that there's a little rectangle there attached to the band. There's a community space as well. It's hard to read, so it's hard to tell. And that drive-through, we plan to be raised, more like you see in kind of a commercial setting for pedestrians to go across. And there's that center kind of, it says, but there's a unit count there, but that's kind of an open area. We'll probably put a playground there or apartment. So these amenities are in all of our family properties, especially ones where we've got the space to do it. So.
You know, we do encourage swales whenever possible, too, so just because that we didn't have any here for a long time, it's made a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
How about you,
Nora?
I'm good.
Okay.
Bryce, do you more?
No,
I'm good. Any more questions? No, I think I've pretty much.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to come and talk to you about it.
Thank you.
We're excited about it. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time. So we finally have an opportunity with this LIFT funding to get something done. So thank you.
Thanks. Okay. So back to the planning, the application before you today. I thought it would be great to really understand who Housing Works was and what they want to do and what really the catalyst is for getting this in and getting this in now. What I'm going to do is just jump back to the application before you today, which is the zone, which comprehensive plan amendment and the zone change for the entirety of the property, not just the Housing Works piece, and just reiterate the process of the plan amendment and zone change. So again, there's 7.6 acres that we're hoping to change from the current public facilities to CMX, which is commercial mixed use. Historically, this was identified as this community facilities district, in which case, if it was still under that zone, we wouldn't be here before you today. There would just be a site plan application. So what we need to do is get back to a zone that can allow this use to occur on the property. Let's see. Background, as I noted before, incorporation before the creation of your comprehensive plan map, development code, and zoning map, this use could have occurred. This use and other uses could have occurred on the property. As Tammy pointed out and as the record indicates, there's a significant need, and then as Housing Works actually put in some more evidence in the record today, there's a significant need for affordable housing in Lapine. And they're interested in ABLE, and assuming that the zoning is proper, they can probably pursue grant funds to address that affordable housing issue. there is an oversupply of public facilities properties, so there's not going to be a deficit if you do the plan amendment zone change. So there are multiple steps to seeing dirt move, to seeing structures going up. There's the current comprehensive plan map amendment, there's the current zone change, and then assuming that we proceed and it gets approval, then of course there'd be funding, and then likely an application for a partition to create their unit of land that they'll use, and then also there will be a site plan application that would address things like how tall the building is, how it will be set back, how snow will be dealt with. And also through that process, those questions about transportation, exactly how those intersections will function, whether or not there's additional turn lanes that are needed, with each site plan that occurs, those will be assessed time and time again. So there are future applications that come before the city that further review all the development code requirements. There's the map, which is in the record, and as Tammy, no need to reiterate this, she went through it in great detail. There are, there's really three criteria that apply. There's consistency with the Oregon Revised Statutes, consistency with the statewide planning goals, and the transportation planning rule, the Oregon administrative rules. There's also a need to demonstrate that there was a mistake or that there's a public need and benefit that's provided from this proposal. Through the change of the previous zoning to the current zoning, we've suggested that there might have been a mistake. Regardless of whether or not there was a mistake, there's also a public need and there's a benefit that's provided. So there's really two prongs of that standard that are being met when only one of them needs to be met. And also consistency with the comprehensive plan, and Tammy went through that in great detail. It's kind of those technical questions we'd be more than happy to answer. If you have any specific questions about the technical planning pieces, I'd be happy to address those. Again, just kind of talking need and benefit. So the summary that I have there is Deschutes County and Housing Works would like to reestablish the ability to provide affordable housing and the supporting uses, the other commercial uses that could support that housing, on the property. Previously, that would have been permitted on property. This commercial mixed-use zone provides all of the appropriate uses to accommodate Housing Works needs and also supporting uses in the future that help build complete communities. Affordable housing is identified as a priority in the city of Lapine. And the proposal, as noted in the record, and staff has found that it conforms with all of the approval criteria. So, of course, we respectfully would request a recommendation of approval. Questions for me? There's also James Lewis is here from the county, who's the property owner. If you want to add some.
I do.
Okay.
Hello, commissioners. Haven't worked with you in a long time.
Yes.
Way a long time ago. Since the comprehensive plan was originally developed. Again, I'm James Lewis, and I'm the property manager for Deschutes County. And on this project, I've been working with Housing Works for the past few months concerning their request to the county for land for the affordable housing project that you saw presented to you tonight. Just a little background on this to tell you how the county commissioners got to the decision to work with Housing Works and agree to donate the property. I think it's important to show you the confidence that the county has in Housing Works and in this project to be an asset to the community of Lapine. Initially, Housing Works contacted the city of Lapine, I think Corey, and talked with the city council and simultaneously made a request to the county for a donation of property for affordable housing. We got documentation from the city saying that the city was in support of that there is a community need for affordable housing. All the data that Mr. Kemper provided to you is all the data that was provided to us as well, and we knew that there was a need for affordable housing in the South County. So that request was made to the Board of County Commissioners formally. We saw the proposed design, and we also knew that making this project go forward was tied to some of the grant funding that Mr. Kemper also spoke to. There's grant funding in this current cycle, in this next year, that if they could not move forward today, they would lose or not have that opportunity to acquire that grant funding, which would potentially prevent this project from happening at all in Lapine. So, and that was key to the Board of Commissioners. What they wanted was they did not want to donate a piece of property that would sit stagnant for a few years. They wanted a project that would go forward and meet the need in the community that there is today, the housing need that there is today. And so in working with Housing Works, they were able to demonstrate that the funding is available, that it's essentially gap funding through the grant. They have other funding to make this project go forward. They have a consistent track record of the projects that you saw. Long term, they will own this, they will maintain it. So as I said a minute ago, it's going to be maintained, it's going to be an asset to the community for a long time. It will look nice, and it will be attractive, and it will be available for affordable housing. So with that, the county entered into an agreement with Housing Works to donate this piece of property. There will be some properties left over that the county will retain. There's a 1 acre piece and a 0.7 acre piece that will also be created and rezoned. We don't have any intention to use those right now. The county commissioner's overall intent for these properties is not necessarily to sell them, but to look for opportunities to donate them, but for opportunities that are benefits to the city of Lapine. Again, a key piece from Housing Works was working with Corey and the city council to say, hey, this is going to be a benefit to the community. We own, as you know, a lot of industrial land. We get requests for those all the time from folks that want them speculatively and want to sit on them and maybe make some money on them down the road. And we say, no, we want projects that are going to move forward in the current time would be a benefit to the community. So again, wrapping it up is the county commissioners believe that this project brings all of that forward to the community. Two things. It was in some of the drawings that you had up there. This will be addressed as part of the future partition and site development plan, but I'll just get it out of the way right now. Commissioner Greiner, I think you asked about the property on the south side of the senior center that kind of stubs into nowhere.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Fleming, you asked about, will this be only one access in and out of here? When you look at that proposed partition plan and the property that they're getting, if you noted, there's 2.5 acres of streets. As part of working with the county, part of the condition that we have is that they design this property and that the streets get dedicated. The street right away gets dedicated from the county property. Essentially, the county is dedicating the right away to the city for future street connections to connect with Huntington Road, the road on the south side of the senior center, and also to provide north-south connection through the neighborhood that will eventually be constructed to the north. So there will be multiple ways in and out of here, and it's coming from a dedication of right-of-way from the property that the county is doing as part of this project.
I see that it's supposed to connect into Crescent Creek too.
Yes, to the north. Yep. So there's this property actually has a bunch of right-of-way, and county's taking that initiative and accepting that dedication of our land to facilitate the transportation system through this whole area. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we will open it up for public comments. I know Gary has signed up. Is there any others over there? Come on up, Gary, and state your name.
Hello, I'm Gary Gordon. I'm the Chairman of the Board of Directors for Lapine Park and Rec District, your partners. I'm speaking in favor of the application, so we get that straight up front, and I'm going to give you all the reasons I can in the time I'm allotted. First off, the Park District does not own the portion designated as LPPK within the tax lot 303. Is there any way you could...
You want that tax lot back
yeah,
up?
Yeah, put it back up there with Yeah, he's just had it up. Yeah, right there, that's fine. The designation of LPPK is this whole area right here, only a portion of which is in the application. So if the application is granted, effectively would take care of that, but it would leave this. I got to do a lot of wandering around here. So the LPPK designation is not only is only on a small portion of lot 303, but it's joined and overlaps tax lots 202 and 200, which are currently owned by Sagebrush Development LLC. The City of Lapine Comprehensive Plan does not identify any specific neighborhood or regional parks. But I spent a lot of time wandering through comprehensive plans and zoning ordinances, but there is in the City of Lapine zoning ordinance on pages 32 to 33, it identifies both neighborhood parks and regional parks. Now, on page 32, a park district is identified whose purpose is to provide neighborhood parks in each of the four neighborhoods within the neighborhood planning area and may include a regional park. So I'm going to go to this map over here now. This is the parcel in question that we're talking about. You see the way it overlaps. When I spoke with Tammy, I misspoke because I said there was four planning. Actually, I was counting the four, but I'll explain a little bit more about that. This park right here is already in existence, and it's owned by the Homeowners Association that runs Crescent Creek. This is designated as a LPPK area, and LPPK area, and this is Burgess Road up here, and that's Roslyn School. So the reality is that the park district is, I need to add, none of those green spots were ever referred to or mentioned in the 2005 Park and Rec District Comprehensive Plan. Just didn't exist. And there has been no action taken with regard to it by the park district. As far as we know, we don't have any interest in it at all, other than the fact that it's a potential zoning thing for future development. And as Tammy mentioned, exact boundaries of these areas, these green areas, are not established. So the neighborhood park, which is what the one that would be potentially on the applicant's parcel, has a designation by the zoning ordinance of being minimum size of 2 acres, maximum 5 acres. The one on top up there has a minimum size of 10 to 25 acres. That would be a regional park. But the parks are tied to certain infrastructure being in place, namely public streets and collectors. So the park district is certainly not going to put in an infrastructure, and the district could not get a permit to put a park in without it. So, and most importantly, the park district does not have the financial ability to put in a park at that location. Even if the roads were in, the district is going to depend on negotiating with a potential developer of the residential parcels to accomplish a park and maintain it, like they did at for Crescent Creek. It is a downtown area and within close walking distance to the north side of the corner of Memorial and Coach Road. The district, we own a 5-acre parcel destined to be a soccer and lacrosse complex, hopefully in partnership with the school district, making that whole complex to be 15 acres. And again, it's a 5-minute walk at most if you walk slow and it's raining. To suggest that the developer of a small affordable housing complex should also bear the burden of putting in a park supported by a certain number of defined roads, to our thinking, is not rational. Yes, Lapine is in a desperate housing crunch, and the number one issue is affordable housing. Without affordable housing, it is a challenge to attract clean industry for our industrial park because there's no place for its employees to live. When new businesses plant themselves in Lapine, there's economic benefit to the park district in terms of tax revenue. And with increased tax revenue, the district becomes more capable of improving, maintaining, and expanding its facilities and services to meet our mandates. Thank you.
I'm not sure exactly. Those were basically designated as open spaces, and they were thought to be like in Crescent Creek. There would probably be development around, and they would, because that was one of the things that people were really concerned about, was having open space. So I'm not sure. Are you saying that, well, you don't, the park direct does not want to have anything to do with it, basically?
This one, because we have one so close by that we're going to put a lot of money into.
Okay.
That'll be close, be multifunctional, and associated with the high school. It's all right there.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't even have any statement, any record right now in any active comprehensive plan that addresses those four green parcels at all.
Okay.
Okay. What we're doing is that I'm doing the update to the comprehensive plan, and the two parcels on the north side will be addressed, as well as we're looking at another parcel along Huntington Road, potentially to go begging on our knees to Deschutes County and see what we can get from them. But that's where we're at. And so having the parks would be so close together just doesn't make a lot of sense, considering the extraordinary cost to do it. The park district is in no position at all right now to even consider trying to, put in lawn and sprinklers and enter into water agreements and, all that stuff. We've got a balanced budget doing. We're doing okay. We're paying our water bills like at Findlay Butte, because that's going to be expanded next year too, the park over here. There's no way we can do anything at all with that property, even if we were supposed to. We just can't do it, and we couldn't do it in the foreseeable future.
Well, of course, the comp plan was developed for a 20-year period too, so it wasn't, there wasn't anything right now.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Do we have anybody else that wants to speak? Okay, and hearing no, I will close the public hearing. And did you have any rebuttal to anything he said, or was it really a challenge? So
we appreciate your support.
Okay. Okay. So I guess we just talk about it now and decide what we want to do. And I don't know, would this be in the form of a motion or how?
Yes. After deliberations, you'll need to have a vote on the two separate applications. First, you'll need a motion on the comp plan map amendment, and then a second vote on the zone change request. And what will happen from there is that will be wrapped up in a planning commission decision that will be forwarded to City Council. Because it is a comp plan map change and a zone change, City Council has to adopt it by ordinance. It does not require another hearing, but they have to adopt it by ordinance.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
Sounds like a good deal for the pine.
I agree with that, guys.
Yeah, I understand.
In walking around some of the areas in Lapine and seeing how some of the rental areas that we have are maintained, this to me is a fantastic way to move forward and use that as a lever, maybe to ask some of the people who have rentals in some of these other areas to upgrade their rentals so that they look decent, and so that people moving into the area feel that it's a desirable place to live. So my opinion is we ought to move forward with the discussion.
Well, I'm anxious to see the site plans, but I'm aboard too. I think it's a great idea for Lapine. So I'll entertain, or we'll vote on it. Let me see. First, we'll take number 216, 40C, and that's a comprehensive plan amendment. And I need a motion to...
I'll motion that we accept that one.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the next one is 2016, 41C.
Just to clarify, a 41ZC, zone change.
Oh, the zone change. Okay.
I believe we adopt the zone change.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That's it, right? Okay. And moving on. Other matters? We really didn't designate that, but we need to talk about this next meeting.
Yeah, I was going to bring up your staff.
Okay, we'll go to staff comments. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down.
Yes.
Excellent. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
Looking forward to
partition site plan.
You know where to find us.
Yeah. We'll be touch soon.
Please.
Thank you so much.
We might be talking about a park.
Over here.
Thank you.
Okay.
I won't say much on that topic, because I didn't need to do any talking. You see how thoroughly Tammy and the applicant housing works, and their planner, Greg Blackmore, and James Lewis with the county. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is that this has been a team effort to get it to this point,
right,
for several years, because I love Tom Kemper. He's come with some plans and some proposals prior that we maybe didn't want as much. But this one, we held out, and now we're looking at something that is going to be a tremendous asset to the community
if
everything lines up. So anyways, I have to say something on that, other than just that I'm ecstatic to be here and a part of trying to get this project moving forward. So
yes, it's going to be a good one.
I'll leave it on that for my comments on that project. Staff comments, real quick, I just wanted to talk about the meeting date in December. So we've moved the council meeting to the 14th of December to accommodate the holidays, Christmas and New Year's at the end of the month. So my proposal is that we pencil in and move the Planning Commission date to December 7th. And staff will look at if we have any pending applications or matters that need to be discussed in December and let you know in the next couple of weeks as we're projecting ahead for what the agenda would be at that meeting, whether we'll move forward with that or whether we might just not have a December meeting.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that. I'll make sure.
And it will be at 5:30 if we do.
It will be at 5:30. Thank you for reminding us of that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Our notices went out before our last meeting, so
we'll plan for that. A couple other things which I've said, but just to say it one last time before they actually are here, is that we'll have the water wastewater improvements and expansion project open house next Tuesday at 5:30 at the community center. And expecting possibly a big turnout. All of you who live in the city limits should have received a card that staff put together with all the details and kind of a teaser of what to expect. So that'll be next Tuesday night. The engineers from Anderson Perry will be there. Tammy's working on her schedule to be there. Otherwise, at the very least, you know, the benefit of having that meeting is letting everyone know that we're trying to get the word out. We're being 100% transparent, keeping them updated, the public. Existing ratepayers, folks in Cable and Glenwood, of where we're at in the process so that they know what to expect and aren't surprised. And if anything, what I'll say is that I'm expecting people to be pleasantly surprised with what we're expecting the cost of this project to come out as. I'm going to leave it as that. Just a little trailer. Anyway, so enough on that. That's next Tuesday evening. And then next Wednesday, at the council work session at 5 o'clock, we'll have John Gilarducci, who's with FCS Group. They do studies on system development charges. They will be here. He will be here to talk about the proposed changes, methodology changes to our water and wastewater development charges. It's just a work session. There's no decisions being made, but I likely expect maybe the Central Oregon Builders Association to be there, obviously him and city staff, and just want to let you know that we're moving forward with that as well. So those are a couple things on the near horizon. That's all I have.
I would just note that I think the intent is to also discuss the applications from tonight at the work session with Kendall, so there's opportunity for council to be aware of what's coming for an ordinance decision at their regular session in December.
December, mm-hmm. Yep.
How about you? Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, planning commission, any comments?
I guess my only comment would be it's too bad there are only 42 of these units going up. You gotta start someplace.
Yeah. Well, and what, you know, if they go really fast, just like the seniors that are, I mean, yeah, they were surprised. So, I'm not the senior housing.
There will be a long list of waiting lists.
I think
sure.
So. How about you, Norm?
No, I think it's a welcome addition. We need it badly, and I think it's a quality. It looks like a very
yes,
quality addition.
I mean,
that's important here.
Yes, after looking at some of the places, as Don mentioned before, they're out here already that have gone down over the last 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And be able to get something in there that's really quality is a good idea. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Don?
I think that this is a great project, and I also think it opens the doors to us to enforce some zoning laws in other parts of the city and hold them up as an example of what rental units can actually look like.
A couple of things. I'm also a member of the Shine on Lapine, and I just delivered letters today. Several of us delivered letters to the nominees that didn't make the cut and get awards, but to thank them for keeping their businesses up and that they have been appreciated. So I want you to know that. And then also, one of the things we will need to discuss at the December meeting is the Planning Commission, because looks like Don will be leaving us and going to City Council, and of course with Doug's passing, and then my term is up the end of December, which would leave us without a quorum. So I told Corey the other day that I would stay on for a few months until we get a full, you know, full group again, but we need to talk about what we're going to do with that. And so that's all I have. So if nobody has anything else, I will go ahead and entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, thank you.
Okay. Can I grab Tammy real quick?